This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
International Broadline Food Services Group Bidcorp delivered what one analyst I spoke to called a commendable performance by a company that operates in so many countries and contending with things like social unrest in Hong Kong and bushfires and Brexit. Trading profit grew 9.2%. However, the increased interest charge that now runs through the income statement due to IFRS 16 adoption cut the bottom line growth in half to 4% HEPS growth. Cash flows saw a big boost due to half and half working capital requirements and shrinking by 1.2 billion rand, and certainly looks like a typical symptom of a contractionary global economic environment. I'm joined now by CEO Bernard Berson. Evening, Bernard. The top line growth at 3.2% is the lowest we've seen from the group, which speaks to a global economy that really is slowing down.
Yeah, I mean, let's not read too much into that. There's two components to it. Firstly, the markets that we operate in are generally relatively tough with anemic economic growth. But don't forget, we've also been going through a self-inflicted period of transformation in our sales categorization, in our customer stratification, and the type of target market that we're aiming at. So we are continuing to exit lower margin, larger type of customers, and replacing them with a much broader range of smaller customers, where there's a mutually beneficial trade relationship. So when we look at the numbers, yes, the overall is 3.2, but that's disguised a little bit by some losses and much more gains on the other side.
Yeah,
so we're very happy with that number.
If you look at it, looking at the EBIT margin trend, it's clear that your proactive strategy here of divestments in low-margin businesses back in FY 2017 have actually protected the profit line from a far worse fate.
I think that's totally correct. And you get a very resilient business as a result of it. You're far more diversified across the customer base, and you're able to ride out the challenges a little bit easier, more easily.
Now, Bernard, your main slogan says that it's all about the food, but it's much more than just food. Your operating model is based on a very entrepreneurial objective to focus on selling this bigger mixture of products to your existing customers and attracting new higher margin customers as well. You provided over the years a very good lesson on how to do that via geographical diversification in the food services business as well. Obviously, the big narrative is still around millennials eating out, and all that remains firmly in place. But food inflation is still low all over the world, it seems. How does this impact your margins, and what are you seeing on the food inflation front?
Food inflation has remained relatively benign. Within that, you do get some fluctuations, which can be relatively significant. And we spoke earlier today about some of the protein price increases, particularly across the pork category. But once again, because we have such a diversified product base, we're not a protein-based business, we're not a meat-based business. We're across tens of thousands of different products in all types of categories, and not only in food, but also food-related products in light kitchenware, in cleaning equipment, in chemicals, in non-food type items, packaging, etc. So we've got a highly diversified product range as well, which insulates you from movement in any one particular category. And across the world, inflation remains relatively stagnant and small. In most geographies.
Yeah, it is. It's been the big mystery since this grand experiment of quantitative easing and flooding the world with easy money and excess liquidity, that we just haven't seen the inflation flow through as many economics 101 textbooks would say should happen. Anyway, the coronavirus is another big story at the moment, and it's having a particular impact, obviously, in China, but also in Australia as well. It's been called the lucky country. I think this time around, could be dubbed the unlucky country. What impact are you expecting the coronavirus to have down under?
Yeah, anybody who says they know what the impact is going to be is either exceptionally clever or just guessing, because we don't know how long this is going to go on for. But certainly in Australia, New Zealand as well, we're seeing it in Singapore, we're seeing it in Malaysia. You've got a stopping, not a slowdown, it's a stopping of Chinese tourism, which has been an important driver in the global tourism market. It's the largest tourism base in New Zealand. I think it's the second largest in Australia. It's a lot of Chinese tourists come to the country, and that's just stopped. Now, we have no doubt that will start again. But until that happens, you're going to have subdued demand. We'll just have to wait and see and ride it out as best we can.
And you did mention, I think, in the last results that meat and value-add processing, supply chain procurement initiatives, all of those remain areas of further potential across all the businesses in the group. Can you just elaborate on that?
It's a constant story for us that we're driving house brand, we're driving vertical integration where we see an opportunity, light manufacturing, simple value-add, which are all margin accretive to the overall basket that we sell, and gives you a little bit of a cushion as well in the more difficult times. So that's very much what we do. That's a continual work in progress, and it's a little bit that gives you that leverage that we see in the business.
That was Bidcorp CEO Bernard Berson reporting, as I said earlier, commendable results. And in this environment where so many are missing, I think commendable and steady as she goes is exactly what investors will be looking for. You're listening to Classic Business.